Welcome to CITR 101.9 FM, situated on the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam people. I'm Miles Black. I'm the music department manager here at CITR, newly appointed, although I guess I've been here over a month now. I can just say that's my job. And I'm here in studio with Parlor Panther, Stephanie Hudgens, and Lee Newman.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for coming in here early in the morning to talk.
Yeah, it was.
We made it.
It was early for us, but we're happy to be here.
Here we are.
How are you feeling talking-wise? Are you, like, warmed up enough? Is it too early to talk?
No, we did some talking in the car.
Oh, good.
Just to make sure that we could say words.
Yeah, so some warm-up talking.
Yeah.
I'm still getting there, though.
It's going well so far.
Yeah.
Yes. Sweet.
So Parlor Panther is here to promote a new album that's releasing this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about the release show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the show is tomorrow. Friday is tomorrow. Woohoo! It's at XY Club on Davie in Butte, right where there's some rainbow crosswalks there. Can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Sorry Edith opening for us.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Another trio and another queer band. So we're really excited. Doors are going to open at 7 o'clock. Music probably starts around 8:45.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. You sent me the album earlier this week, and I've been listening to it over and over again. I really love it.
Yay.
I'm excited to see it released. Oh, and Charles Wesley is still your drummer, right?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, couldn't be here today, but shout out to him.
Shout out. Yeah, major Charles. Shout out. Charles Wesley in spirit here.
We call him Char. Char Char.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my bass player's name is Char, and I call her Char.
That's very close.
Yeah, very close.
Shout out Char and Char.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to just jump right into, like, the big questions, if that's okay.
We'd love that.
Do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a puff piece. These are hard-hitting journalism questions.
We are not puff people.
Real talk, baby.
Yeah.
I want to talk about queerness. And for me, it's kind of a new thing to even talk about it or to be really expressive of queerness. I didn't come out until I was 25, and I'm 28 now. So it's been like the last few years where I've always been expressing queerness in some kind of way, but this is the first time in my life where I've been getting explicit about it,
mm-hmm.
and I've been sort of wanting to get more explicit about it just because, like, I think if I had heard more sort of positive queer messages growing up, I would have been able to be out.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's all the more reason why I really appreciate seeing people represent queerness in their art and seeing people be explicit with it on stage.
Mm-hmm.
How did that start for you? Like, when did you first start getting explicit about it and start, like, feeling like, I want to communicate this to people?
Mm. I think for both of us, it's been like a fairly recent development also. Like, we're both in our late 20s, and I don't know, like, it's not something that you really experience or, like, see as much. When I was a kid too, like, I grew up in rural Ontario and just, like, there were no gay people. There was two gay kids at my high school, and they were, like, the gay kids.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I didn't really figure it out until I was in university, like, 19. But yeah, it's just in the last couple years I've been really, like, feeling confident about expressing it in public.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely a process. Same for me. I have been queer for a very long time, my whole life probably. But to be confident and expressive about it was, same as well. More in my mid-20s is when it happened, actually. When I met Steph, and we, you know, we started dating about 5 years ago, and
it was kind of like this reaction that we got from some of our family and friends that inspired Parlor Panther. Some people were against it, and you know, I lost some friends and family, and that sucks. So,
because we were friends, best friends, for about a year before, and had some other close friends, and they didn't like it.
Mm.
Yeah,
when we started dating, and we are no longer friends with most of those people. So,
right,
yeah, and you know, when you see these like hetero relationships growing up on TV, it's like. And they start dating, you see their friends being like, oh, yay, you're dating.
It's really celebrated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and ours was not that experience at all. And so Parlor Panther was a way for us to write about it and celebrate it ourselves, as well as, you know, be more visible and make space for other queers to see it and celebrate it. And, you know, just kind of increase that space and visibility all around.
At my high school as well, growing up, like, there were only a handful of kids who were out as gay or queer, so it was really like, it was hard to come out just because, like, you didn't see it very much, and the kids that were out were being bullied, and like, there were all these sort of negative connotations with it.
Totally.
So when I was in my 20s and started, like, when I moved to Vancouver especially and started, like, meeting more queer people, it just became so relevant and so important to express queerness out of solidarity.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think there's this tendency, even still in some media forms, for there to be, it's like there's a queer person, but it's only like, like, more symbolic rather than them, like, seeing an actual real full story of a queer person. And lost my train of thought a little bit.
but where you were going, it was gonna be good.
Yeah, it was gonna be good. anyway, it was just about having more of a story, like seeing an actual queer person, like singing on stage, would have been so impactful for me as when I was a youth. Instead of like, it was like Ellen DeGeneres, that was it. That was all I knew when I was a kid, and she's awesome. So it was like, just having, and you know, you actually hear her talk and her show, and she's like a real person as opposed to this like token character on a show.
Yeah, right. Totally.
And did you write as teenagers? Like, were you writing music or were you making art?
I did. It was so angsty.
Yeah.
Which is like, I should have known, you know? Like, I didn't really know. I think that too is like, when you're in high school, it's like, there's not really that space to kind of explore and like figure it out. So I didn't know that I was gay, but I should have known. From all those angsty songs. I started by, like, writing poetry.
Yeah.
And then I picked up the guitar, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Never looked back.
Yeah. I initially started playing guitar as a 13-year-old because my mom said that it was a good way to, like, meet girls. And I immediately started writing all these angsty songs that had, like, queer messages in them that were totally... subconscious.
Yeah.
I was writing about stuff that I didn't even really know I was writing about.
Totally.
Did you have, like, were there any, like, subconscious messages that got through your writing?
I think so. Somewhere in the world, some of my old friends have copies of the songs that I made. I don't have them. I think my mom does, too. Should go back and listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be so embarrassing.
It'd be a good trip.
Oh, no.
Oh, I like that you brought your own merch. You've got a coffee mug here with the Parlor Panther emblem on it.
Yeah.
That's great.
We represent everywhere we go.
Exactly.
Oh, you got to. So you're almost called Hot Magic.
Yeah.
Why Hot Magic?
Ooh, good question.
That is a title of one of the songs on the album. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, thinking about the title of the album for a long time. And we just thought that sounded really good. Mm. Hot magic.
Yeah. Yeah, we also tried to pick out some of the themes of the different songs on the album. And, like, a lot of it had to do with, I don't know, just, like, space a little bit. So we kind of very early on had this idea of sort of having some space-themed things. And then we just felt like Hot Magic just really suited that idea.
Mm-hmm. I guess, like, to some extent, when you pick a title for something, it just has to feel right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hot Magic felt right.
Yeah. Yeah, we tried to go through other titles, and we were like, no. That's not as good.
Yeah.
And I think it's also a reference to, I mean, that song is like about our love. Mm-hmm. So Hot Magic is our hot magic love.
That's a great way to describe love.
Yeah. And that song too is a pretty good representation, I think, of our songwriting, because it actually was an idea that was brought to us by Charles, who is one of the main songwriters. Like, the three of us write all together. Mm-hmm. And he brought that chorus to us and said that it was inspired by our love, me and Lee's love. Yeah. And then he had written, like, all the guitar stuff, because he plays the guitar too.
Okay.
So he wrote the chords for the verse and the chorus, and then we wrote the lyrics, me and Lee and Charles all together, for the verses and the bridge. So it was like a real collaboration process.
Yeah, that's a cool way to write.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the writing that I've done with bands has been like one person writes the song and then brings it to everyone else and we kind of like build
totally.
On it.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems even more like it's done in like pieces and you're really like
Some of our coolest stuff, I think, has come from when we all like contribute largely to a piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was a lot of this album.
Yeah.
Because I had a bunch of free studio time. I was going to Nimbus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was almost done. So I was like, I have 4 months left of studio time. Let's write on an album and record it. So we wrote most of the album in like a couple months. Mm. And so we just sat in our room in our jam space and we're like, we gotta get this done. Yeah. Let's finish it now.
What was the urgency about?
Well, it's because I was gonna run out of studio time.
Oh, sure.
And like we got, like, they have beautiful studios there. I don't know if you've been to Nimbus, but
yeah, I have,
it's amazing.
Yeah, totally. Good opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, and it sounds amazing. The production is just great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Steffi.
Well, I mean, it's you too. You played a lot of the keys parts, and
that's true. I did that.
Yeah.
But
sang some harmonies.
The post production, the mixing, and the editing is all Steph.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time on the computer.
Yeah.
Our proclaimed wizard.
Yeah.
Cool.
Of the band.
Yeah. I noticed the poster for the show on Friday. Is that a M.W. Bowen piece
of art? It sure is.
Yeah, he is so amazing.
Yeah, did he do, is that the album for the artwork for the album, or is that just the poster for the show?
It's going to be the back cover.
Oh, cool.
Of the album, yeah. The CD. And then we just released the art yesterday for the cover. It's pretty wild too. But we had seen his art around town. Like, he had some up at Yokes, at the old Yokes location on Hastings, and then we'd seen some of his like street art just up around the city.
Like the Catwoman.
So cool. And so we were following him on Instagram, and it was kind of just our dream to get him to do the art for us. So we messaged him on Instagram.
Yeah, it was like this shot in the dark. We were like, oh, I don't know. He's too good, too popular.
But yeah. But then he said he listened to our music and loved it, and then he's totally in. So we got him to do like lots of different pieces of art for the release.
Yeah.
That is all going to be available at the show tomorrow. We got tons of stickers, a t-shirt, Oh, cool. Yeah. Posters, CDs.
Yeah, and it's all MW Bowen.
Oh, yeah.
So we're and excited
there,
about
and there
that.
Is a strong space theme in it. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. The image that I saw was a panther walking on, like, a rainbow tightrope almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through space.
Yeah.
Yep.
We just, like, we were like, just go for it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He really went
he
for
really
it.
Did.
Yeah.
That's basically what we told him, like, you know, space theme, maybe a cat, maybe some rainbows. And he just, I mean, it was a process with him. He would throw us like 10 ideas that were just amazing. And we'd be like, yeah, I like this, I like that, and just kind of narrowed it down. Mm.
This is the cover for
oh
you
my
to
God.
See.
That's beautiful.
It's pretty wild.
There's so much going on here.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to describe it for the viewers.
No,
it's just no more.
Yeah. You'll have to check it out.
Yeah, come to the release show at XY on Friday.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Can I play a song from the album?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sounds
anything
good.
Anything particularly like me to put on?
Your choice.
Oh, that's good. okay, well, I'm going to play... Oh, this is hard to choose now.
Put you on the spot.
I'm going to put on Bad Ritual.
Nice.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Again, and nothing remotely wrong. listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm here with Parlor Panther in the studio live.
Hi.
Hey.
The track you just heard before that ad was called Bad Ritual.
Bad Ritual.
And it's a cover.
It's a cover
that you've been playing for a while.
It is, yeah. We've been playing it since the band started. And it is a super creepy song by the band Timber Tambor, which is a super creepy band.
Yeah. Love them. Love them.
Creepy in like a pagan ritual kind of way? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. They write songs about like ghosts and like, I don't know, abuse. So like, sometimes it can get pretty creepy.
Mm. Yeah. And just like their vocals are creepy sounding. The music is eerie. It's just creepy all around.
Yeah. Bringing the dark stuff into the light.
Yeah, exactly.
The creeps.
Why are we so attracted to the lyrics of that song? Like, and what does Bad Ritual mean to you?
Good one. Well, the main chorus, Bad Ritual, I often think about smoking pot.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking pot.
Because it, you know, growing up, it was taught to me that it was bad.
It was bad.
A bad ritual.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's medicinal in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I think about when we're singing that. And we like pot. We're a pot band.
Yeah. Yep, fair enough.
And I feel like most bands are pot bands though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And I think of, I've always thought of smoking in general as a ritual.
Yeah.
And I think of rituals as something that like a practice or a habit that connects you with a larger concept. Like for smoking, it's what I think about when I smoke is that I am burning something and literally taking it into myself.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, like the particulates are sticking to my insides and it's becoming a part of me. And then I release it out into the world by blowing it out. And it's like this really beautiful way of thinking about what's going on inside me and what I'm releasing and what I'm putting out into the world.
I like that. Yeah, I like that too.
I'm going to do that every time I smoke now.
Yeah.
Think about that.
It was a ritual for us often at band practice. We have jam space.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of just this unspoken ritual that, you know, before we practice, we'd all sit down and
smoke a doobie.
Pass a doobie around. And it sort of brings you to this other level when you're playing music as well, right? It's like more, I don't know, spiritual or spacey.
Yeah,
it is a very different way to play, like, and to think about playing.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
It's a creepy song. It, I definitely think that's interesting that you said that they sing about abuse, because the verse that I sing is like the second verse. I often think about that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think about my parents, actually. They split up when I was a kid, and there was some abuse going on in my home, so that's often what I think about. It's like this idea of, he says, every creak is a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Just the idea of being sort of perpetually nervous or angsty when you come from something like that. So
yeah, when there are things that unsettle you, like even in your own home where it's, you know, supposed to be a safe place.
Yeah, exactly. Think about my mama. She's a strong lady.
Mm.
Shout out Leona.
Yeah, shout out mama. She's gonna be at the show tomorrow.
Nice.
So. Yeah.
That's great. Oh, so you've got, like, support from your families coming out to shows sometimes, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, both of our families are extremely supportive.
Oh, great.
My parents are crazy. They love it. They love it.
Yeah.
They saw us play at the Arts Wells Festival a couple of years ago, and they were like, oh, you guys are really good. And I'm like, I know, that's what I've been telling you all along. Because they lived in Ontario my whole life, so they've only seen me like perform as a professional musician like a handful of times. Right. So every time they do. And they have actually just moved here, so it'll be more often. But every time they do, they are a little bit shocked, I think.
Right. Yeah. Shocked that you're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like they remember. It's like they perpetually just remember that it's like 12-year-old angsty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kid being like kind of good. And then it's like, oh.
Oh.
You done grown up.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I feel like my music career peaked at like 18 for my parents. Like that's when my parents thought I was the best.
Yeah.
When I had a folk rock band as a teenager, and they were like, oh, it's so lovely. Like
it's nice
music.
Yeah.
And since then, like they still like my band. I think they're fans, but it's like it's getting further and further away from what they think is like nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like totally. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh my God, I got called weird so much growing up. It wasn't like, it was just sort of like, yeah, Miles is a little bit odd, or he's a little off.
But now you're the cool one, so
take that. I've embraced my weirdness, and now people think it's cool.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I used to be like a nice choir girl. For a long time, I was
boring.
Just like... It kind of was. I mean, there's parts of choir I love vocals, you know, and harmonies. That part is I take with me, and I love that. But yeah,
that's
just like
amazing training just for your ear to listen and to be in a group of people that are all singing together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lee sings like an angel.
Oh, I know.
Beautiful angel.
But so my mom grew up with watching me, you know, sing in these nice choirs, and then. A few years later, I was like, nah, I'm going to be a rock star, Mom. I think it was an adjustment for her as well.
Yeah.
It was a big change. You know?
Yeah.
That's a leap.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, like often people have to come out to their parents about a number of things, like I'm a rock star now, you're going to have to accept me.
Absolutely.
Totally. It's a process for them to understand and... You know, adjust.
Yeah, a lot of parents haven't heard about rock music.
Totally.
What is this rock? It's true. Like, in your, you know, my physical appearance changed a lot. I used to, like, have long, flowy hair.
Same.
And
not anymore.
Yeah. I used to look a lot. I look a lot like my mother. And so,
same.
Yeah. Same. And then that, you know, chopped it all off. At first it was like, isn't that a little extremely?
Aren't you being extreme?
I'm like, nah.
This is who I am. Accept it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a funny feeling when, like, just expressing yourself is called extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's it's frustrating.
Mm.
It's like I wouldn't call cutting my hair extreme, you know? Maybe misuse of the adjective. I'll show you extreme.
No. I won't.
Parlor Panther is described on Bandcamp. I don't know if you wrote the descriptions for Bandcamp or your website.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's been a slow evolution of writing the descriptions. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to write
it
your
really
own descriptions
is.
And
it
to
is.
Write your own bios. I hate that process, to be honest. But you describe yourself as gorgeous grit rock, which I love.
Yeah.
Yes.
How long did it take you to decide upon that as like your genre or like to descriptor for your music? Because I find genres very difficult. I don't feel like most. Mm-hmm. I feel like most bands don't really fit into any particular genre.
Exactly.
It's true.
That was what happened for us too. We were always like indie rock. We don't know.
Yeah.
But then we had someone. We were going to play a show in
Vernon.
Falkland.
Yeah.
And this person who does No Nap Records in the Okanagan area, very cool. Shout out, Sean McLeod. She described us as gorgeous, gritty rock.
Mm.
Yeah. And we were like, you nailed it.
Yeah. So someone else said it. And then we were like, yes.
We stole it.
We're going to take that and go with it.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I didn't even come from you. So
no.
That worked out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like trying to come up with a genre for my band Pale Red. And I think eventually we settled on like art punk.
Mm-hmm.
But initially it was all over the place.
Yeah.
And at one point I called it gut pop. Because it was like, well, we are working with like pop song formula kind of. But it's like real, like it comes from the gut.
Yeah. Gut pop.
Gut pop.
And that's I would encourage all bands out there to just make up your own genre.
Yeah.
And just start using it.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. It's the way to go. Mm.
Yeah.
You also, on your Bandcamp, you describe your music as music that inspires your heart while also pulsing through your limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And do you think of this as, like, are there elements of pop music in this? Like, and what I mean by pop music is, like, music that's trying to appeal to like as many people as possible, like trying to be trying to connect to as many people as possible.
Yeah, I think in some ways when I went to Nimbus I learned a lot about pop music and song structure. They're very into that.
Mm.
And I think, you know, from that I took some ideas, like having a couple of songs on the album that are maybe thought about a little more in terms of structure, and like having a really catchy chorus, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, having the chorus hit early enough in the song that it sort of grabs people's attention. But I think most of this album we just like did whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
So. That's what I was gonna say. Maybe one or two that are a little more
planned
popular
out.
I guess.
Yeah,
but there are some really weird ones with like
yeah.
7-8 time signatures, and
there's one where we go from 5-4 to 6-8 to 4-4 back to 5-4 6-8 4-4. It's like, what is going on?
I love that because like in some way it kind of asks a lot of the audience to like follow along with that, and if you're changing time signatures and like making quick changes it, like throughout the song, you're asking the audience to do work.
Totally.
That's true.
And I appreciate that because I never really think of music as just entertainment, something to like put on and switch off to. Like you do want to engage with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your music is physical in the way that it is, like it is vibrational and like it kind of travels through everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally when you're out at a gig and there's a band playing, like their sound is traveling through your body and you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a real physical interaction with the band, and it's very personal.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. We're sending this energy out, and you know, that's kind of all a part of the performance, is like sending it out and then getting it back and sending it out and getting it back. Mm-hmm. It's like
sometimes we don't get it back. Some people are like, this is really weird, and we're like, whatever,
we're just gonna send it out harder.
You can deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is weird, like when you're playing a gig and there's people that you know that are just sort of like coming to it because it's a venue.
Yeah.
It's almost like this like non-consensual relationship where you're like they just have to like be bombarded by your sound.
You gotta tolerate it. You're just gonna bombard you. Totally. We've definitely had that before. We've opened up for some pretty like decently big bands a couple times at the Biltmore and stuff, and just like a crowd full of strangers, and they're just kind of like unsure.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you sound great at the Biltmore, though. That's a good sound system.
Yeah, I think we played there like maybe 4 shows in a row.
Oh yeah.
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 It was a good time though.
Yeah. Good 4 months.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I might play another track.
Do it.
Sweet.
Do
it.
I want to play Sex. Can I put on Sex?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, well, this is Sex. S-E-X-X-X-X-X.
Sex.
Sex. from Hot Magic.
Touch me tenderly like you always love me forever. So can you entrust me?
To CITR 101.9 FM. Just closing the show out with Parlor Panther, Stefan.
Aww, so
Stefan Lee.
That's us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. I really
appreciate this.
Thanks for
having us. It's fun.
Yeah, it's been lovely to talk to you, Miles.
Yeah.
Likewise. that song was Sex.
Sex.
Off of Hot Magic, which is being released tomorrow at tomorrow night at XY in the Davie Village. yeah, I'm I'm kind of at a loss right now. I feel I'm coming down already off of the high of this interview.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking to me about queerness, especially because, like, it's a very new thing for me to talk about and articulate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And it's important to me. Like, I want to be more expressive with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it takes practice, too, to just be comfortable with, like, saying the words and not feeling like shy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I have a new job recently where I talk about it, and it was significant to realize that I wasn't, like, I didn't really know how to talk about it. I know how to live it. It's my life, and I sing about it. But yeah, to just, like, eloquently and be able to talk about queerness and queer issues is important, and another thing.
What's this job, if you don't mind me asking? Do you want to give a plug for them?
Sure, yeah. It's for Out in Schools, which is run by Out on Screen. They have the Queer Film Festival in August, and then Out in Schools is like a education program for schools. So we show them films and then have a dialogue and do a little educating about queer lives and queer issues.
Mm-hmm. And that's like grade...
typically, like, grades 5 or 6 up to grade 12.
Yeah, yeah. Great. That's so meaningful, just to have a queer person who is out about being queer and talking about queer issues, like, just representing themselves coming to your school. Like, I didn't get much of that growing up.
I didn't get any of it. Yeah. I can't imagine, like, what I would have been if I had that. Would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm super pumped to be doing it for those same reasons. I'm like, man, if I had seen me when I was a kid, it would have been so helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Like, and you get to represent that now. You get to be that influence that you wanted as a kid.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I'm pumped about it.
And I'm excited that you're having your release show in the Davie Village, you know, such a like heart of the queer community here.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely wanted to do something a little different and special. And we actually did a show there a couple months ago, and we were like, this is the spot.
Yeah.
Nice. It just felt right.
Yeah, it did. Exactly.
Yeah.
Home.
Oh. Yeah, it's a really supportive venue for, like, queer. There's a lot, like, a ton of queer events there weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. We're a giggly bunch. It's cute.
Me too. Yeah. I have to get out of the habit of this. I laugh on mic all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's good. Like, I want to, I'm just expressing myself.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's becoming the thing that people know of me for. Like, it's constantly giggling off mic.
Yeah, that's cute.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Miles.
Thank you for letting me hear the album. Tomorrow night, you'll all get a chance to hear all of it. Hot Magic. Yeah. Good stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. See
you. We're going to leave you here with a song from Shitlord Fuckerman, an album called Investigate Loud Earth. And this is a song called Thank You for Your Time on Earth.
So, nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
darkness falls on this. Take it to another
CITR and Mint Records have released their biannual collab, Pop Alliance Volume 5. This glamorous record features staple Vancouver artists, Devours, Swim Team, Lord Fuckerman, Chris Horrific, and so many more. Get your copy for only $15 on iTunes or at the Mint Records store now.